We continue Be'ezat Hashem in Masechet Ta'anit. We are on Daf Kafbet Amud Aleph, a few lines down from the top of the page, 10 lines. We are in the 10th line at the end of the line where it says Rabbi Beroka Choza'a. This limut should be Le'ilu Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo. Shelomo ben Jamila, Shelomo ben Reuven, Shulika bat Chana, Reuven, Esther bat Leticia, and Simcha bat Leticia. Aneim Shalom. So again, Ta'anit Kavbet Amud Alef, the 10th line from the top. Rabbi Beroka Choza'a, one of the Tana'im, his name was Rabbi Beroka, from the city of Choza. Hava shachiach beshuka debei lefet. He was commonly found in the market of the city Bei Lefet. And the Gemara tells us, Hava shachiach Eliyahu gabe. Eliyahu Navi would often appear to him. And one time, in the marketplace, Eliyahu appears to Rabbi Beroka Choza'a. Amar le, Rabbi Beroka asked Eliyahu Navi, Ika behai shuka bar alma de'ate? Is there someone, is there anyone in this market that is worthy of Olam Haba, of the world to come? Amar le lo. He said, as of now, I'm looking and I don't see anyone. Adehachi vehachi. Meanwhile, Chazal ahu gavra, he saw a certain person, dehavasayim mesane uchme. He was wearing black shoes. That was different than the custom of the Jews at the time, who wore white shoes. And he walked around, this person, with black shoes. And he also did not have techelet in his tzitzit. He didn't biglime on his clothing. He didn't wear the techelet tzitzit fringes on his clothing. And yet, Amar le Eliyahu turns to Rabbi Beroka and says, Hai bar alma de'atehu. That person you see over there, he is a Ben Olam Haba. Rabbi Beroka, without asking questions, Rahat Batre, he ran after the person. Amar le mai ovadach. He asked him, please tell me, what is it that you do? What is your common deeds that you do? I would like to learn from you. Amar le, he told him, Zil ha'idna v'tale machar. Please, today, if you can go, I can't answer you right now, but come back to me tomorrow. Lemachar, surely enough, Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabbi Beroka Choza'a comes to him the next day. Amar le mai ovadach, he told him, please tell me what your deeds are. What do you do? Amar le zandukna ana. He told him, I am a prison guard. As Rashi says, shomer beta asurim, a prison guard. Ve'asarna gavre lechud ve'nashe lechud. And I make sure to it to imprison the men separately and the women separately. V'ramena puriyai ben hane lehane. And I make sure to place my bed between them, the men and the women. Ki hechi deloletu lidei isura, so that they will not come to any chas v'shalom isur, any transgression. And in addition, ki chazena bat Israel, when I see a Jewish girl, diyahave nochrim alah enayhu, that Gentiles have placed their eyes on her, masarna nafshai, I give my life, I risk my life, umatzil nala, and I save her and I rescue her. Yomachad, one time, havat na'ara meorasa gaban, there was an engaged Jewish girl with us in the prison, diyahavu banochrim enayhu, upon which Gentiles, goyim, put their eyes upon her. What did I do? Shakli durdeya de chamra. I took wine yeast. Veshadaila beshipula. And I sprinkled, I poured it upon the bottom of her dress. Veamri distanahi. And I said, don't you see she's menstruating? And so that turned them away. And they left her alone. So this is how he would risk his life and fight for the Kedusha of Am Yisrael in the most dire situations. Amar le, so Rabbi Beroka asks him, Maita amalit lach chute Ditchelta, why is it that you don't have the tzitzit of Tehillet? Veramit mesane uchme, and you wear black shoes. Amarlei told him, listen, ayalna venafikna bene nochrim, I am always going in and out among the goyim, ki hechi deloled u di Yehuda ana, so that they should not know that I am a Jew. I'm undercover. And why does he do that? Ki havu gazre gezerata, I try to find out when they are plotting against the Jews, when they are making decrees, evil decrees against the Jews. Modana lehu lerabanan, I immediately go and notify the sages, uba'u rachame, and they pray to Hashem, umevatli l'gzeratayu, and they succeed in nullifying the gzerot. Who knows how many times that happened, that with his informing of what the goyim were planning, and with the tefilot of Chazal, so many gzerot were averted. Rabbi Beroka continued and asked him, umay ta'ama ki amin alach, ana, may ovadach, and what was the reason that when I asked you, what are your deeds, the first time, you told me to go and to come back the next day? What was the reason for that? Amarle, he told him, you know, Be'ahishata gazri gezerata. At that particular time, I knew that the goyim were plotting and decreeing evil decrees against the Jews. And so I had no time. Ve'amina, I said to myself, Beresha ezil, let me first go ve'eshma lehu le'rabanan, and I will report what I know to the Rabbanan, delibay rachame ala demilta, so that they should pray to Hashem about the matter. So I was in a rush, and I had to go. So that's the one Jew out of the marketplace that Eliyahu HaNavi pointed out as a ben olam haba. Adehachi vehachi, meanwhile, in the meantime, atu hanach tre ache, there were two brothers that came and entered into the marketplace. Amarle hanach nami bene alma deateninu. Eliyahu said, oh, those two, you see those two brothers from there? They are also bene olam haba. Azale gabayu, sure enough, Rabbi Beroka went to them. Amarle hu mai ovadaychu. And he asked them, what is your occupation? What do you do? Amrulei, they told him, Inchi beduche anan. We are people, we are jesters. We act like clowns. That's our profession. Rashi says so beautifully here, Beduche, semechim umesamchim bene adam. We are happy and we make sure to make other people happy. Remember that Rashi, Semechim umesamchim bene adam. We are happy and we make others happy. That's what we do. Mevatchinan atzive. We cheer up people who are depressed. Inami, also, kichazinan betre. When we see two people, deitlehu tigra bahadaihu, who are fighting among them, they have a quarrel between them. Talchinan veavdinan lehu shlama. We strive to make peace between them. And therefore, we understand that it is for this special behavior that they had, that they were worthy of Olam Haba. Now we continue to study the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it stated, Al elu matri'im bechol makom, for the following calamities, we sound the alarm in every place with tefillah and shofarot, remember, hatra'ah. So now we have a braita. Tanu Rabbanan, al elu matri'im bechol makom. On the following calamities, we are matriya, al hashidafon ve'al hayerakon. Shidafon, when the produce is plagued, when the produce that is growing is ruined by the rain or by wind, ve'al hayerakon, and for disease of yerakon, that is also a disease that is a green mildew that grows on the produce and causes them to rot, ve'al arbe ve'chasil, and also for the plague of locust and different kinds of locusts that come and in large swarms and come upon a field to ruin it, ve'al chayara'a, and for dangerous animals that come. So these are calamities that immediately matri'im b'chol makom. Rabbi Akiva says, al hashidafon ve'al hayerakon Bechol Shehu, when we're talking about those plagues of the produce, Shidafon and Yirakon, even when we just see a little bit, any amount, we immediately are matria. Arbe v'chasil, when it, in regards to the makah of locust, afilu lo nir'a be'eretz Yisrael ela kanaf echad. Even if only a single wing of one of these locusts was seen in Eretz Yisrael, immediately matri'im alehem, because that's a sign that there is more of them that are going to come. The Mishnah then continued and said, ve'al chaya ra'a. So we have a braita explaining, Tanu Rabbanan chaya ra'a she'amru, the makah of wild animals that Chachamim are talking about, for which we do hatra'a, bizman shehi meshulachat matri'im alehem. When is it that we call upon hatra'a? That's only when the dangerous beasts come in an abnormal way. There is an abnormal outbreak of animals. Ena meshulachat, if it's not in an abnormal way, en matri'im aleha. Then there's no necessity for hatra'a. So the Braita explains, ezohi meshulachat, what's considered meshulachat, ve'ezohi she'ena meshulachat, what's considered not meshulachat, not an abnormal outbreak. So the Braita says, nir'et ba'ir, if the dangerous animals appear in the city, meshulachat, that's a sign of an abnormal outbreak, and we are matria. Basadeh ena meshulachat, in the field, it's not considered abnormal. Bayom, if they are seen in the daytime, which is very out of the ordinary for animals, meshulachat, that's a sign of an abnormal outbreak of dangerous animals. Balayla, if it's only in the nighttime, ena meshulachat, it's not considered a makah that's meshulachat. Ra'ata shene bene adam veratzta acharehen meshulachat. The Baita continues and explains also further. If let's say the beast ra'ata shene bene adam saw two people veratzta acharehen and chased after them, that's considered meshulachat. That's an abnormal outbreak. That's not normal. Nechbet mipenehem, if it hid from them, so then ena meshulachat, it's not an outbreak. Tarfa shene bene adam ve'achla echad mehem. If let's say the animal tore apart, tarfa, tore apart two people and ate one of them, that's considered meshulachat, that's an outbreak. Because it shows that the animal didn't just attack because of hunger, right? Or else it would eat both. Achla shenehem, if it ate both, ena meshulachat, that means it was just because of hunger, so it's not an outbreak. Alta lagag venatla tinok me'arisa. If let's say the animal climbed up to the roof or took a baby from its cradle, lo alenu, meshulachat, that is something that is abnormal and that's a sign of an outbreak. So that's the end of the braita. So now the Gemara will ask a few questions regarding this braita. The Gemara asks, hagufa kashya, this braita is self-contradictory apparently. Amart, on one hand you said, nir'ata ba'ir, if the animals were seen in the city, meshulachat, that's an outbreak. Loshna bayom veloshna balayla. So it sounds like it doesn't make a difference whether it was in the day or the night. If it's seen in the city, it's meshulachat. V'hadar amart, but then you continue and say, bayom meshulachat. Only in the day, it's meshulachat. Balayla, it's not meshulachat. So how do we understand? So the Gemara explains, lo kashya, it's not a question. Hachika amar, this is what the Braita is saying. You combine the two sentences. Nir'ata ba'ir, bayom, if the animals were seen in the city in the daytime, that's considered meshulachat. Ba'ir, balayla, but if it was in the city, but only at nighttime, ena meshulachat. It's not considered meshulachat. Inami, or another scenario, basadeh, if the animals were only seen in the sadeh, in the field, then afilu bayom, even in the daytime, ena meshulachat, it's not considered an outbreak. And truly, what it says in parentheses, basadeh balayla, if both elements you have, it's in the field and it's at night, that's pashut, ena meshulachat. Now the Gemara will ask on the continuation of the Vaita. It said, ra'ata shene bene adam v'ratzta acharehen meshulachat. If the animal saw two people and chased after them, that's an outbreak. So now, ha omedet, I derive from that, that let's say she would not chase, the animal would just stand still, ena meshulachat, then it's not a sign of an outbreak. V'hada amart, but then in the sentence afterwards, you said, nechbet mipenehem, if the animal hid, It went into hiding from them. Ena mishulachat. Then it's not an outbreak. Ha omedet. So I derive from that, if she only stood still, it's still mishulachat. So how do we understand the braita? So the Gemara says lo kasha. It's not a question. Kan besadeh hasmucha leagam. Kan besadeh she'ena smucha leagam. Kan besadeh hasmucha leagam. What does that mean? Over here, meaning where it says that it is meshulachat, that it is an outbreak when it stands still. So then that's talking about a scenario where it's a field that is close to a agam. To an agam is like a marsh type of a pond. So now it's very natural in that case for an animal to stand still in that place. Because it's not scared from the people. It knows that if the people will attempt to catch it, it could just run into the marsh and save itself. So therefore, if it stood and it didn't do anything next to the agam, so that's not considered abnormal. But kan besadeh she'enas mucha la'agam. But in the other line of the Braita where we are medayek, that standing would still be considered in a mishulachat, it would be an outbreak, that's when it's standing in the field, she'enas mucha la'agam, and there is no agam next to it. So it has nowhere to run. So the fact that it's standing demonstrates a very abnormal and unnatural lack of fear, and therefore that's considered a sign of mishulachat, of an abnormal outbreak of animals. Tarfa shene bene adam ke'echad ve'achla echad mehem mishulachat. In the Braita it said, if it tore apart two people and ate one of them, then that's abnormal, so it's mishulachat. Shnehem, if it ate both, ena mishulachat. So the Gemara asks, Veha amart afilu ratzta. You just said before that even if it just chased after them, it's already considered mishulachat. So how could you tell me that if tarfash and ibn adam, that if it tore and ate both, that's not mishulachat? But you just said before that even if it just chased after them, it's mishulachat. Amar Rav Papa says, Ki tani hahi be'agma. That statement where it says that if it ate both of them is not considered mishulachat, it's referring to an animal that's in the agam, in its natural habitat, in the marsh. So being that it is in its natural place, so it has it's normal that it has that confidence to attack, because it's in its own territory. So therefore, that's not considered mishulachat. Gufa, we return to a statement of the Braita of before. Al talagag v'natla tinok me'arisa meshulachat. If it went up to the roof and it took a baby from its cradle, that's meshulachat, that's an outbreak. Asks Pshita, I mean, that's obvious. This is very unnatural, very abnormal. So why do I need the Braita to give me such a simple and obvious extreme case? Amar Rav Papa answers, Kekuche de tzayade. The Braita, when it says al talagag, it's referring not to just any roof of any house. It's referring to the roof of the tzayad, the hunter's kuche, hideout. That's where the hunter hides. And therefore, since this particular house or hut is in an area of wild animals where the hunter is trying to get them, so therefore I would have thought that in that case, maybe it's natural for the animal to attack. Maybe such a thing would not be considered mishulachat, an abnormal outbreak. That's why the Braita is mechadesh to us that still, if it's al talagag, if it went up to the roof in such a way, even in such a case, and took a baby even more, that is definitely a sign of an outbreak, and we are matria. Hashem Yatzilenu from all these tzarot. We have to be grateful to Hashem when we say Hashkivenu for the peace that we live in, more or less, that we don't experience, and hopefully never have to experience such things. The Mishnah continued and said, Al HaCherev, that we are matria for sword that comes to the country. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braita, which explains the Mishnah, Cherev she'amru, this Cherev, the sword that Chachamim refer to, eno tzarich lomar Cherev she'eno shel shalom. It's not necessary to explain that this includes a sword that is not of peace, which means a sword of an enemy army that comes to wage war against the Jews. That's for sure. Ela filu cherev shel shalom. Even in a case where it's a sword of peace, which means an army is passing through without any intention of making war. It's on its way to another place. But this already, even though it's cherev shel shalom, already is cause for alarm, and we are matria. And the Braita gives an example. She'en lecha cherev shel shalom yoter mi paro necho. You have no greater example of a cherev shel shalom than the case of paro necho, as is told about in Sefer Melachim Bet, in the latter part of Malchei Israel, in the time of Yoshiyah the king and Nebuchadnezzar. So Paro Necho was the king of Mitzrayim at the time, and he was passing through Eretz Israel to go make war with Nebuchadnezzar. That's all. So that's a case of Cherev Shel Shalom. Ve'af al picheh nichshal ba ha-melech Yoshiyahu. And yet, King Yoshiyah of Eretz Israel, nichshal, he stumbled in this matter. Shene'ema, as it says in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim Bet Perek Lamed He, it says, Vayishlach elav malachim lemor. What happened was that King Yoshiyah went out to wage war with Paro Necho. He didn't want him. He didn't want to give him permission to pass through Eretz Israel to go fight with Nebuchadnezzar, and so he wanted to stop him. So now Paro Necho sent him the following words. Sent him messengers with the following message: Vayishlach elav malachim lemor. Paro Necho sent messengers to King Yoshiyah. Mali valach melech Yehuda. What do I have to do with you, King of Yehuda? Lo alecha ata hayom, ki el bet milchamti. I'm not coming against you. I'm going against the one who I am at war with. Velohim amar levahaleni. And Hashem has commanded me to be hasty and to hurry and to go to war. Chadal lecha me'elohim asher imi ve'al yashchitecha. I'm warning you. Stay back from my God who is with me so that he shouldn't destroy you. Which means we see clearly over here that Paro Necho did not have any intention of making war with Yoshiyah. Now, what happened at that time? How do we see that Yoshiyah stumbled, as we said before, nichshal? So the Gemara explains, what does it mean when it says, "My Elohim asher imi"? What does it mean when Paro Necho said, "Chadalecha, step back from the God that is with me"? Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, zo avodah zara. He was referring not to Hashem, he was referring to his avodah zara. So you know what happened? Amar Yoshiyah Melech said, "Hoil v'kabatach be'avodah zara, yachil nale." Well, since he is confident in his idol, in his avodah zarah, so I should be able to defeat him. And he went out to war against Paro Necho. And there was a tragic ending. It states in the pasuk, "Vayoru hayorim lamelech Yoshiyahu," and the archers shot arrows at King Yoshiyah, and they hit him. "Vayomer hamelech la'avadav," and King Yoshiyah told his servants, "Ha'aviruni, ki haholeti meod." Take me away because I am seriously wounded. "Mai ki haholeti meod," and specifically, what does it mean for I was wounded? Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, "Melamed she'asu kol gufo ka kevara." This teaches us that the Egyptian archers made his entire body like a kevara, like a sieve that has so many holes from all the many arrows that they shot at him. A very tragic ending to the life of the King Yoshiyah, and as we're going to see, Yirmiyah HaNavi lamented over that. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani says in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, "Mipenema ne'enash Yoshiyahu." Why was Yoshiyahu punished to be killed that way? The Gemara says, "Mipene she'aya lo limalech be'Yirmiyahu ve'lo nimlach." Because he should have consulted with Yirmiyah HaNavi before going out to war. He should have found out from Yirmiyah, should I go to war or not? And he didn't consult with Yirmiyahu the Gedol Ador. "Mai darash?" What was the drasha of Yoshiyah? How did he interpret the psukim in the Torah that he thought he should go out to war? He saw the pasuk in Parashat בחוקותיי, וחרב לא תעבור בארצכם. The pasuk says that no sword will go through your land. That was a bracha that Hashem said for Am Yisrael. So he said to himself, "My cherev? What does it mean? V'cherev lo tavor? Ilem acherev she'ena shel shalom? If it means Hashem says a sword of the opposite of peace, meaning the sword of war, will not pass in your land. V'haketiv v'natati shalom ba'aretz. The pasuk already says, and I will give peace in the land. So why repeat that v'cherev lo tavor? Ela afilu shel shalom. So Yoshiyah made a drasha. Oh, so v'cherev lo tavor means even cherev of shalom, such as this case of Parunecho, will not pass through your land. So in fulfillment of this bracha, Yoshiyah wanted to prevent Parunecho from passing. V'hu eno yodea she'en doro dome yafe. However, the mistake of Yoshiyah Melech was that he did not know that his generation did not have the zechud for that blessing, and therefore he wouldn't receive the special siyata dishmaya in this regard, and that's why he was killed. And you know what happened? Ki havanicha nafshe, when Yoshiyah was on his deathbed, chaza Yirmiyahu sivvute de kamerachshan. Yirmiyahu was there, and he saw the lips of Yoshiyah HaMelech moving. Amar, he said to himself, Shema chas v'shalom milta de lo mehagna, Amar agav tzare. Yirmiyahu was worried. Maybe chas v'shalom, Yoshiyahu is saying something improper against Hashem, complaining about Hashem's judgment. Out of tzar, because of his distress that he's dying. Gachin, so Yirmiyahu bent over v'shame'eh, and he heard what Yoshiyahu was saying. Dekamatzdik ale dina an nafsheh, that he was justifying Hashem's judgment against himself. Amar, he said the pasuk, tzadik hu Hashem kifi hu mariti. Hashem is righteous, he is a tzadik, because I rebelled against his word. So he was justifying what happened to him. That was the tzidkut of Yoshiyahu the king. Patach aleha hahishata. And at that time, Yirmiyahu began to cry and to eulogize for Yoshiyahu. And upon him, he said the pasuk that we say in Echa. Yirmiyahu wrote Echa, Ruach apenu Mashiach Hashem. Oh, Ruach apenu, you are the breath of our nostrils, O Mashiach Hashem, the anointed one of Hashem. And he was referring to Yoshiyahu HaMelech. The Gemara continues on in the Mishnah, Ma'asev yardu zekenim Yerushalayim le'arehem. The Mishnah told us a case an incident in which the zekenim came from Yerushalayim to their cities and they decreed a ta'anit zibur because of a small amount of shidafon that they saw in the produce in the city of Ashkelon. And it said there, a small amount, enough to fill kimlo pitanur, to fill the mouth of an oven. So the Gemara asks a question, Ibay alehu, what does it mean? Kimlo tanur tvua, or dilma kimlo tanur pat? When you said kimlo tanur, enough to fill the opening of an oven, that means enough tvua, enough produce to fill up an oven? Or enough produce to fill up bread in the oven? Enough produce to fill up produce itself to fill up the oven, that's much more than you need for making bread that will fill up the oven, obviously, right? So that was the question. For how much did they declare the ta'anit? Tashema kimlo pitanu. Come in here, it says in the Braita. It says, I'm sorry, not in the Braita, from the word that it says in the Mishnah, kimlo pitanu. The mouth, enough to fill the mouth of a tanur. So that's definitely referring to bread, because the bread is put by the edge of the tanur. Ve'adayin tibay elehu. And yet, there is still a question. Ke kisuya de tanura? Is it referring to bread of the cover of the oven? O dilma kidara de rifta de hadar lelepuma de tanura. Or maybe it's referring to a row of bread that goes around the mouth of the oven. Teku, there's no resolution for this, and therefore the meaning of the Mishnah is stands unresolved. The Gemara continues further in the Mishnah. It stated, Ve'od gazru ta'anit al she'achlu ze'evim. The Mishnah told us about a sad case that happened, that they decreed a fast because wolves ate two children in Ever HaYarden. Amar Ula Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak. Ula said, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, Ma'aseh ubal'u ze'evim shene tinokot ve'heki'um derech bet hare'i. There was an incident that occurred in which wolves swallowed two children and excreted them from the bet hare'i, from their other side. Uba ma'aseh lifnei chachamim ve'tiharu et habasar ve'timme'u et ha'atzamot. There was a question that came before the Chachamim regarding the leftover of their dead bodies, if they are metameh, tum'at met, if they are impure with the tum'ah of a dead body. And the Chachamim were posek that the basar itself, their flesh, is tahor, since it passed through the animal's digestive tract. And therefore they said that the flesh itself is not metameh, but the atzamot, the bones, had tum'at hamet. The Mishnah continued and said, Al elu matri'im b'shabbat, gave a whole list of calamities that should not never come, for which we sound the alarm with tefillah in tze'aka in hatra'ah on Shabbat, for a city that was surrounded by non-Jewish armies, and for a place that's in danger of being flooded by a river, and a ship that is being tossed about at sea. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a braita, Ir shil kifu hanochrim o nahar, a city that was surrounded by an army, or a river that swelled up around the city, and they're in danger of being flooded. Ve'echad sfina hamitarefet bayam, and a ship also that is tossed about at sea. Ve'ehad yahid shenirdaf mipene nochrim, and also for an individual who is being chased after, is being pursued by nochrim, by goyim, or mipene listim, or being chased after by thieves, umipene ruacha, or he is being chased by an evil spirit, he may come to harm himself. Matri'im b'shabbat, these are also reasons for hatra'a on Shabbat. Ve'al kulan, and for all these above cases, yachid rashai lesagef et atzmo b'ta'anit. A yachid, an individual, is allowed to afflict himself by fasting in order to annul the gezerah ra'ah from Hashem. However, Rabbi Yossi Omer, en hayachid rashai lesagef et atzmo b'ta'anit. Rabbi Yossi says, no, an individual is not allowed to afflict himself with ta'aniyot. Shema itztarech labiriyot, ve'en abiriyot merachamot alav, because maybe he's going to bring himself to a situation where he won't have energy to be able to work for a living. He's going to be sickly, and who knows? Maybe no one will have rachmanut on him, and a person is not allowed to put himself in such a situation. Lesagef et atzmo, to afflict himself. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Rav, my tama de Rabbi Yossi. What's the reason of Rabbi Yossi who says this? Dichtiv, it says in Bereshit, Vayhi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, and Adam became a living soul. Neshama shenatati becha, ha'hayeha. Rabbi Yossi learns from this pasuk, lenefesh chaya, Hashem is giving a directive to Adam, that the neshama that I gave you, you have to sustain it, you have to preserve it, you have to give it life. You're not allowed to afflict yourself with ta'aniyot. Continuing on in the Mishnah, Shimon HaTimni Omer Afala Dever. Shimon HaTimni said that one is allowed to do hatra'a, to cry out on Shabbat for Dever as well. And it said there, Velo hodu lo chachamim, that the chachamim did not agree with him. So the Gemara asks to clarify, Ibai Alehu, they had a question. Lo hodu lo chachamim b'Shabbat, aval b'chol hodu lo. This that they didn't agree with Shimon HaTimni was only in regards to Shabbat, that Dever, pestilence, is not enough of a reason for Hatra'a on Shabbat, but during the weekday they would agree. Or maybe they didn't agree with him at all, which means they would hold that there is never Hatra'a just for the purpose of Dever. So the Gemara says, Tashema, come in here, Ebraita. Detanya, we learned in Ebraita, Matri'im ala Dever b'Shabbat, ve'en tzarech lomar b'chol. We cry out for the plague of pestilence on Shabbat and surely during the weekdays. It seems to be the opinion of Shimon HaTimni. However, Rabbi Hanan ben Pitom, Talmido shel Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Rabbi Hanan ben Pitom, who was the Talmid of Rabbi Akiva, said in the name of Rabbi Akiva, En matra'im ala dever kol ikar. One does not cry out, we don't do hatra'ah for pestilence at all. So this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, which is attributed to the Chachamim in the Mishnah. So they disagreed with Shimon HaTimni totally, not on Shabbat, is it allowed, and not on Chol. Rashi explains, because of a gezerah, that one might come to continue to be matriya on Shabbat as well, and therefore even on Chol, it's not allowed. The Mishnah continued and said, Al kol tzara shelo tavo ala tzibur, on any tzara, any trouble that should not befall a community, we are matriya on them, except, the Mishnah said, rov geshamim, except for a problem of an overabundance of rain. So we learn in a Braita, Tanu Rabbanan, Braita teaches us, Al kol tzara shelo tavo ala tzibur, matri'im alea chutz mirov geshamim, as the Mishnah said. My tama, what's the reason? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, lefi she'en mitpalelim al rov hatova. Rabbi Yochanan says, a yesod, one does not pray to stop an excess of something that is good, because rain generally is good for the world. So it's not appropriate to pray for it to stop, even when a lot of it is falling. That shows a lack of akarat hatov. Even when it's in excess, still, it's not derech eretz to pray to stop something that essentially is good. Ve'amar Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan says, minayin she'en mitpalelim al rov tova. How do I know this? From where do we derive this? She'ne'emar haviu et kol ha'maaser el bet ha'otzar, the famous pasuk in Malachi, where Hashem says to bring all the ma'aser to the Bet HaMikdash, and if you do so, barikoti lachem beracha ad belidai, I will bless you with an abundance of good ad belidai, until belidai. Amar Rami Barav Yod. Rami Barav Yod says, ad shivlu siftotechem ilomar dai, until your lips will be worn out from saying enough, enough. So what do we see from here? That Hashem is saying, I will bless you until yivlu siftotechem ilomar dai, which means an excess of good, to the point where people don't want that much, right? So, and yet Hashem says, I will bless you with it. If Hashem says, I will bless you with it, that means it's a good thing. That means you should not, it's not proper to pray that it should stop. Amar Rami Bar Rav Yod. Rami Bar Rav Yod said, Uvagola matri'im aleha. This that we said is true in Eretz Yisrael, but in the Gola, outside of Eretz Yisrael, such as in Bavel, then we are matriya for rov geshamim. Tanya namihachi. And the reason being why in Bavel we are matriya al rov geshamim, Rashi says, she'amukahi venitba'im batehem b'mayim. Since Bavel was in a valley, was in a low point of land, as is known, it's a low-lying region, so excessive rain can definitely pose a real danger for even homes to be drowned, and therefore in that case, of course, matri'im. It's only in Eretz Yisrael that we are not matriya al rov geshamim. And okay, now the Gemara says, Tanya Namihachi, we learn like this in the Braita as well. Shana shegeshameha merubim, a year in which the rain is very abundant, anshe mishmar sholchim leanshe ma'amad. The anshe mishmar, the kohanim of the mishmar of that week, they send the message to the Anshe Ma'amad, to the Yisraelim, that are the representatives of that week for the witnessing of the Avodat Beit HaMikdash. So they are sent a message from the Anshe Mishmar, Tenu enechem be'achechem shebagola. Put your eyes on your brothers in the Gola, in Bavel, and have them in mind to pray for them, shelo yehe batehem kivrehem, so that their houses will not be their graves, meaning should not collapse upon them from excessive rain, and they will become their graves, chas v'shalom. So you see that in the Gola, it is definitely something that is to be prayed for, because it could be a very, very big sakana. Sha'alu et Rabbi Eliezer. They asked Rabbi Eliezer, "Adechan geshamim yordim veitpalelu shelo yordu? How much rain has to fall until one is allowed to pray that it should not fall anymore?" Amar lahem kedei sheya'amod adam bekeren afel vishachshech raglav b'mayim. If enough rain fell so that a person can stand bekeren afel, that's on a specific place, a specific cliff, vishachshech raglav b'mayim, and he can dip his feet in the water and wash them in the water. Which means, according to Rashi, the meaning is that Rabbi Eliezer was saying that that never should you pray for rain to stop. Imagine sitting on a cliff and trying to bend over to wash your feet with the water. You'll never reach it, right? So he was saying sarcastically, "Vishachshech raglav b'mayim, klomar le'olam en mitpalelim." Never should one pray for the rain to stop. So the Gemara asks, "Vehatanya yadav," but we have another braita where it said that he said, "Kedesh she'yamud adam vishachshech yadav b'mayim," not raglav. So the Gemara says, "Raglav keyadav ka'amina." When he said raglav, when he said that a person should be able to place his feet in the water, he meant like his hands, which means that the water should be high enough that he can dip at the same time both his hands and his feet into the water with ease. That's definitely impossible if you're sitting on top of a cliff, right? So that's what was meant. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Rabba Bar Bar Chana says, "Ledidi chazia li keren afel." I saw that cliff of Keren Afel, and I saw how high it is. "Dekam hahu taya'a ki rachiv gamla." I was sitting on top of that cliff and I was looking all the way down and I saw Ahu Taya'a, an Arab, that was all the way down. Kirachiv Gamla, he was riding a camel. Venaki Drum Chabide, and he was holding a spear in his hand. Mitchaze Iniva, and he looked like a worm. That's how small he looked. Which means this cliff, Keren Afel, was a very high cliff. This is the one that Rabbi Eliezer was referring to. The Gemara continues and gives us a braita. Tanu Rabbanan, it says in the Pasuk, "Venatati gishmechem be'itam," and I will give your rains in their season. "Lo shikora velo tzeme'a ela benonit." This means that the earth will not be drunk from the rain. There will not be that much, so much. That's not a bracha. "Velo tzeme'a," it will not be thirsty from the rain, which means it won't be a little. "Ela benonit," which means it would be a moderate amount of rain. That's a bracha, that just the right amount of rain will come. "Shekol zman she'gashamim merubim," because when rain is very abundant, "mitashteshim et ha'aretz," it causes the soil of the land to be very muddy. "Ve'ena motzia perot," and it doesn't give out its produce. "Davar acher," another explanation of "be'itam," in their time, "be'lele revi'iyot u'be'lele shabbatot." The night of Tuesday nights, that's the night of the fourth, right, day of the week, and Friday nights, because at these times people are not outside in the streets. There used to be a certain fear of Tuesday nights, of shedim that would wander outside. That's what Rashi refers to when he says, "Mipene agrat bat machalat," that's a name of a shed that would be out on Tuesday nights. And also, Lele Shabbatot, people are home because of Kiddushat Shabbat. And so at this time, that's the best time for rain because it comes and it does not create any torach, any burden for people because they're not traveling. Sheken matzinu bime Shimon ben Shatach, as we found in the days of the great Tana Shimon ben Shatach, this was in the time of Beit Sheni, sheyardu lahem geshamim belele revi'iyot ubelele Shabbatot, that rain would always fall on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. Ad shenasu chitim kichlayot usorim kegarine zetim. The produce was so blessed that the wheat grew as big as klayot, as grains of kidney size. And the seorim, the barleys, would be like the size of olive pits. Ve'adashim kedinare zahav, and the lentils would be as big as golden dinarim. Ve'tzareru mehem dugma ladorot, and they even tied up some of these crops as an example to show the future generations. Le'odia kama achet gorem, to show the people how much damage is caused by sin. Because look, Look, in the time when, in the dough of Shimon ben Shatach, when there was tzidkut in the world, such bracha came by way of the rain. So people should always know, if they don't have that bracha, that's because of chataim, sheneemar, as it says in the pasuk, avonotechem hitu ele, vehatotechem maneu hatov mikem. Yirmiyah in Perikhe says, your avonot turned away these good things, and your sins are what withheld bracha from you. As we found in the times of Hodus, this was also in the last 100 years of the Bet HaMikdash, that they were occupied in, the renovating of the Bet HaMikdash that Hodus ordered, as we know. And rain would only fall at night, and the next day the wind would blow, the clouds would disperse, and the sun would shine, and everybody would go out to their work of building the Beit HaMikdash. Since they saw that the rain fell exactly at the time when it was comfortable for them, only at night, and it wouldn't interfere with their work of building the Beit HaMikdash, so they knew, they were convinced that what they are doing is Melechet Shamayim, is the work of heaven, and they had the zechut to do so. So we see that the rain goes in accordance with the level and the zechuyot of the generation. Okay, Rabotai, I will stop here. Rosh Chodesh Tov Umvorach.